Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, will join us in 1 hour. We'll get Hutton's thoughts on the Titans coordinator search, both offensive and defensive. And, of course, the latest coming out from the NCAA and Tennessee, what that means for the future of college football, for the future of college sports. We'll get into that, all of that, with Jonathan Hutton at the top of the hour. Willie Donick is here today. No D. Mace. But Willie D., how are we doing?
I'm doing well. It's a weird feeling that there's hockey in Smashville tonight. We're out here at the studio. A little bit of a change of pace here with the national broadcast. So I am off duty today, but we'll be taking in the game tonight. Always interested to see what the – because I think TNT does a phenomenal job with their Wednesday night hockey. I do think they've built something that is something that the people around the league want to see what they're talking about. What are the league stories? What do they think about your team? So I think that is a real positive that the NHL has built. And congrats to the TNT crew. They've only had this now for a couple years, but they've really built something fun. So this is the only time that Nashville is on TNT in the regular season.
Really?
Yeah. So take advantage of the spotlight.
Broadcast.
It's a fun broadcast. I love the guys in the studio. Paul Bissonnette has done a great job of being that guy that kind of stirs it up a little bit with the personality.
Uh-huh.
So I like what they're doing. Henrik Lundqvist, I think, is a fantastic analyst in the studio. I learned something from him a lot. Just to name a couple, they're all really good. So big, big game tonight for both teams. You've got the Kings that are sort of on the verge of, do we fire the coach to shake it up? Are they going to work their way out of this? They've been in a funk now for pretty much the whole month. And Nashville is in that win one, lose one, you know, kind of 500, kind of treading water kind of thing. A lot of issues that they're both going into a long break here after this. So there'll be time to sort of reassess and huddle back up and say, how do we tweak it going in? So who's going to finish on a good note here? We talked about, you know, oh my gosh, how did they lose to Ottawa? They're up 3-0. They lost. Well, last night, how about this? St. Louis loses to Columbus. Columbus is not good.
Yeah.
The Sharks, probably the worst team in the league. Shut out the Kraken. So the worst teams in the league win one out of every four games. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to grasp that sometimes. because in the moment you're like, how did you lose to that team? They sneak up on you sometimes. It's hard. Like, you're going to have nights like that. So the key is to shake it off, come back, and I'm really curious to see what the Predators bring to the table. It stung. We just heard Philip Forsberg with Chase and Joe. It was great. Yeah. That obviously stung them the other night. They were in great position to get 2 points. They had to settle for one. What can you do about it now? Nothing. Just come back and play well tonight. They beat the Kings in L.A. Not too long ago. They've been all around North America. I can tell you personally. Vegas, Los Angeles, Arizona, Minnesota, Edmonton, Ottawa. That's a lot of road trips.
Been a long stretch.
With one home game in between. So they've been all over the place. I'm sure they're on fumes right now. And it's human to say, look, we got this break coming. I cannot wait to get a break. I need my body recharged.
Yeah.
But this is a job you got to do tonight. So this is a very important game. You could go into the break back in the wild card position with a win.
And, you know, to your point, Philip Forsberg said it stung. It should sting.
Absolutely.
When you get a 3-0 lead and then you blow it, you know that those are points that are incredibly valuable, that it's a very competitive wild card race in the Western Conference right now. But the only thing that I think would sting worse than that is losing this game tonight and having to live with it for the next week. Now, that really stinks, feeling the weight of that on your shoulders and knowing that there is even more pressure on you once you get back from the break. I was listening to Hal Gill on with Robbie and Joe yesterday, I believe it was, and he's like, yeah, you're sitting on the beach, but you're thinking about, man, what could I have done differently if the puck just would have bounced my way? So we'll get more into some preview of the Predators-Kings game tonight. We'll get into that in the 1 o'clock hour, but I want to start
6:30 start, by the way, with the national broadcast. So just
start
if you're
TNT.
A regular that goes down there and you just don't look at the start time, which, and most of the time you'd be right, it's almost always 7 o'clock, but tonight 6:30. So
6:30
don't show up at 7 going, hey, what happened? It's the first period. I'm late. What happened? Hey, nobody told me.
Pre-game,
well, we're telling
5:30
you.
With Max Hurst.
Pre-game at 5:30, 1025-1063 the game.
Don't say we
Max
didn't
Hurst.
Tell you. Don't say we didn't tell you.
Don't say we didn't tell you. I am glad the game's on TNT tonight. That is such a better, in my opinion, a much better broadcast than ESPN. ESPN's got some work to do.
I agree. I think they're getting they're better this year than they were last year. I will say that, but they still have got a ways to go to catch TNT.
Got to coach better, got to play better.
Yep.
I want to start with this because we learned of this during our show yesterday. It was a report from Pat Forty of SI.com. The Tennessee is potentially facing NCAA investigation. Now, when this article first came out, when we were discussing it yesterday, there were very little details. We didn't know much about it, but we knew that it was potential NIL violations. And I thought, how in the world do you violate NIL? Like, I mean, it essentially run the wild, wild west. So what could you violate? One person that Pat Forty mentioned in his article was Nico Iamaleava, of course, Tennessee's new starting quarterback. And while Pat Forty didn't explicitly say this is the focus of the investigation, I think at least naming Nico Iamaleava and the big NIL deal, the hefty $8 million deal that he comes with, of course, when you talk about NIL, that's going to be at the forefront of your conversation. Fast forward to now, and oh my goodness, has this been an absolute bleep storm. We've gotten a lot more information since the news was initially broken yesterday. The New York Times came out with an article and said that the focus right now of the investigation was a flight that Nico Iamaleava took on.
I'm glad you're saying that. I need to practice that more. Iamaleava.
And I will say, saying Nico and then not knowing how to pronounce his last name, that's unacceptable. That is unacceptable.
It was for a while, but
it's
not anymore.
It's getting unacceptable
now. He's too well known now.
He is too well known. Iamaleava. Learn how to say it. We learned Uyunglele. We can do Iamaleava.
Is it Ia or Ya?
Iamaleava. Yes.
Iamaleava. Okay.
We'll work on it.
I'll Listeners, Caroline will be doing a teaching class on vocabulary and such around 4:30 today.
Gotta do that on your own time.
You're not
I'm
doing
busy.
A substitute today?
I'm busy.
Okay.
Iamaleava. So, you know, according to the New York Times article, he took a flight on a private plane from a Tennessee collective donor. Right now, that is what we know is the forefront of the investigation. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more. I doubt it's just the plane, but that's what we don't know. So Chancellor Dondi Plowman came out with a very strongly worded email to the NCAA, essentially saying that the NCAA has lack of integrity and lack of consistency within communicating those rules and enforcing those rules. Now, Tennessee's not the first school that we've seen be at the forefront of an NCAA NIL-related investigation. Florida State was hit with an investigation a couple of weeks ago. And Florida was another one that the NCAA is investigating to Jaden Rashada. He was a quarterback that originally committed to play for Florida, had a $13 million NIL deal, realized there was really no money to it. He requested a release from his national letter of intent. So Tennessee's not the only school that the NCAA is investigating. But it was essentially a threat of legal action from Dondi Plowman, the Tennessee chancellor, that, hey, if you move forward with this, then we have no problem fighting that in court. And so what is new today is that the Tennessee Attorney General and the Virginia Attorney General have filed complaints in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Tennessee for essentially violating antitrust laws. That's a lot there. There's a lot going on there. But essentially, the NCAA is investigating Tennessee for violating NIL rules. And Tennessee's response is, well, when NIL became legal on January 1st, 2021, the NCAA came forward and had an interim policy. And that interim policy simply stated, you can't pay for play. You know, there needs to be some sort of exchange of, I do this for you and we pay you. It wasn't until May 2022 that the NCAA released a guidance that, hey, the same rules apply. The former rules of boosters cannot have impermissible contact with recruits. You can't give a recruit a ride. You can't give a recruit a new car. The same applies to collective donors. So under those new guidelines, what that collective donor did, providing Nico Iamaleava of a ride on his plane to Knoxville before he had originally committed to Tennessee, would have violated those guidelines. So Dondi Plowman's point is, look, you cannot retroactively punish us for something that was not a rule at the time. Reaction. Thoughts on all of this?
My first thought is, why the outrage to where you feel like you need to go as strong as you do now before you even really have the official note of investigation, right? It's only now, because yesterday's message was, we haven't been put under investigation yet. We're aware that they're looking, but we haven't been served anything official. That was the first statement that was released, right? But then later no notice of allegations. But then later that same day, here comes the statement from Plowman. So why the outrage? And then this morning, I see the governor coming out with a strong statement. Hey, like, you might as well have been holding a big orange flag in a picture. Like, since when has a governor come out and do that? That was odd to me. When, again, we still don't even know what's the allegation. What are they investigating? We don't know. This is just all what the media has uncovered. So why are we going this far? And it made me think of the Hamlet line, the doth protest too much. Like, why are we protesting so much? If it's as simple as, hey, it wasn't the rule at the time, mm-hmm. that should be pretty easy explanation, easy to prove, right? So what are you worried about? That's my first thought. And this, again, I'm not investigating this. Right. I don't know what happened. It seems to me that this has been the wild, wild west from the get-go. Mm-hmm. It's still the wild, wild west today. People are getting around whatever guidelines have been put out there or not been put out there. It's a pay-for-play system now. It's becoming a professional league, and we're just scratching the surface. That's how I think about it in a macro look. So what Tennessee did, I don't know. They were doing what I think a lot of schools were doing. I think they were pushing the envelope. They jumped right into the pool mm-hmm. right as soon as they got the green light to do this, to try to get a great recruit. Mm-hmm. But it would seem like if it's as simple as, well, those weren't the rules at the time, then what? I don't know what you're worried about.
And that's why I think there's some more there. And the notice of allegations that I know a lot of people, it's even very confusing to me. The notice of allegations comes at the end of an investigation, and that can take years. So it's not out of the ordinary that Tennessee has not received a notice of allegations. But it was my understanding that the university and Dondi Plowman herself has been aware of this since July. And she did say in her statement or her email rather to the NCAA, we tried to reach out to speak with Charlie Baker. We've requested to meet in person. That was not a request that was answered. So now what we're getting is this, and this is how we're moving forward to respond. And I do think that there's probably more there. That if it's just the Nico Iamaleava flight, well, that's easy to fight. If it happened
easy
before,
to document.
Easy to document that you could say this is the date that it happened. There were no NCAA rules in place at that time that said we couldn't do this. So you can't punish us for that. That seems fairly easy to me. There has to be more there.
Sure there is. There's got
to
be more.
There has to be more. Because what Donnie Plowman also said in her article, she referenced the last investigation with Jeremy Pruitt and the McDonald's bags and paying recruits and so on and so forth. That the NCAA gave glowing reviews to the way that Tennessee handled it and everything that they did on, you know, on the inside. And she said, how can you, and I'm summarizing, how can you slap us with lack of institutional control when 6 months ago you said that we were participated in an exemplary manner? Well, nobody talked about lack of institutional control. I haven't seen that in any article. I haven't seen that in any
documentation
from the
NCAA. We're protesting, but we don't even know what the allegation is. So, again,
leads me to believe in her conversations with the NCAA that has come up. I don't think that she would bring that out of nowhere. If nobody brought that up to me, I would not incriminate myself by using that statement. So that is what leads me to believe there has to be more there.
I was very puzzled by the tone of it, the quickness of it, before we even really know what they're looking at, especially in an area that I think all of us who cover sports believe is a very loose set of rules, and there are reasons for that, right? It was the lawsuit. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, the 9-0 ruling, and then it went overnight to, hey, these are amateurs. You can't pay the amateurs. We've got all these rules, to, hey, you can pay these guys. You just have to go about it in somewhat of a creative way. And it went from 0 to 100 in a quick. In that context, it just doesn't seem like you could possibly have cheated on a level that would get you a lack of institutional control. I thought those days were kind of over. That's been what we've seen since that ruling, pretty much, is the game has changed, and Tennessee has been at the forefront of that game, just like plenty of other schools who have the deep pockets, the ability to build these collectives. They're putting themselves in a good spot, mm-hmm. and it's got all kinds of other dominoes and ramifications that I don't think are good for the sport. But as far as trying to get them for cheating, I'm still waiting to see. Like how could that be? I want to know more. But I was really stunned at the sort of defensive blowback. Quick, you know, this preemptive. You can't do this. This is crazy. We didn't do anything. Like, wait a minute. We don't even know what you did yet.
Yeah. I think it's because they understand that it's a big deal. And I don't
certainly
think
seems that way.
That this is just an isolated Tennessee incident. I think that this is a college football problem. I think that this is any other big program across America. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, surely Michigan. My goodness. Every big program across America, I think, needs to be on alert. Because whatever Tennessee was doing, I don't think it was just isolated at Tennessee. And the NCAA is to blame for that, because the NCAA had every opportunity to get ahead of this, to make rules in place, to work with Congress to make sure that there were blanket rules across every institution, across every state in America, to try and get ahead and say, look, if this is going to be, if NIL is going to be legal, great, wonderful. Let's put guidelines in place, because I'm in favor of rules. Like right now, what we're living in, it's unsustainable in college football. There is going to come a day where the money runs out. Like there's going to come a day where, you know, there's going to be institutions that just simply cannot keep up with it. And they're going to essentially fall into oblivion. What we're living in college football, it's unsustainable. We do need rules. We do need guidelines. But what the NCAA can't do it.
Right.
Is what I look at. Because the NCAA can say, okay, well, you know, what you did then was against the rules. What rules?
What rules
are you talking about? You're trying to essentially put the toothpaste back into the tube. We're 2 years into this. We can't just go back and undo what we did. It's out of the NCAA's hands, in my opinion.
The NCAA, you're right, they brought this on themselves. they were being sued by I don't know how many different people at one particular time. There was the whole video game thing with the O'Bannons, and that took decades, right, with the likeness. All of this stuff had been going on for a long time, and they were clinging to the old system for decades, the student-athletes and all that stuff, and that was the mistake that they made. And then all of a sudden, they lost their cover, their ability to enforce that, and then the dam broke, and we've got all this stuff going on. But here is the thing that I keep thinking of, and I just saw this morning, now there's a countersuit, right? Now you've got Virginia and Tennessee, they're suing the NCAA. The transfer rule that people are saying, well, this is not right, you can transfer once, well, why can't you just keep transferring? Here's the thing. Do you want to have rules, period, right? The NCAA is flawed, we know that, but it's all you got. Do you want to start a whole new system? Okay, maybe. But you think that's going to be easy? That's going to be very difficult. And maybe someday that's what happens, that the big money people want to say, let's have our own league. Maybe it's just for football. There's a lot of ideas you can have. But in the meantime, you have to decide. You can nail the NCAA any which way, say they stink and they have no power and all that. And that's probably true, but it's all you got. I'm reminded of this. A couple decades ago, Brentwood Academy sued the TSSAA, and it was the whole time where the public and private schools split into two different championships as a result, right? They challenged everything. It went to the Supreme Court, and the TSSAA, there's not money crawling out of their coffers all over the place, but they had to fight it all the way. They had to have legal representation, and it went for a long time. It was a bitter battle. And as a result, they split. And after all the aftermath, I think some people kind of said, look, this is all we got. Do we need to have a whole new organization to start over on how we organize high school sports across our entire state, which is a big state with a lot of different situations? You got city schools, you got urban schools, you got schools way out in the country, you got schools near a city. I mean, there's all kinds of different. And they're doing the best they can. So it's either you find a way to have the right leadership and work with them, but if you're constantly just suing them and tearing them down and trying to send them into oblivion, what do you get? What do you have as a result? What's the end game? So that's what I wonder. Like, somebody's got to help the NCAA a little bit. We've got to find a way to rein this in and figure out what do we want the system to be, because it's crazy right now.
It absolutely is crazy. And I think a lot of people would agree that, hey, look, we need something here. We need some sort of standardization in NIL. The fact that every state in America has the right to make different rules in regards to NIL, well, that's kind of a competitive disadvantage, don't you think? That gets awfully sticky, don't you think? Because there are a lot of players like Nico who played high school football in California and is going to another state in Tennessee with different NIL laws, that gets a little gray.
Sure it
does. I am all in favor of standardizing NIL and having some sort of guidelines. The NCAA is just not the institution to do that. And if you want to do that, the process with how they're doing it, at least from what it looks like with this one incident with Tennessee, of saying, hey, we had guidelines in May 2022, and in, you know, March 2022, you didn't follow those guidelines. Well, first of all, you cannot impose guidelines like they're rules, because if guidelines are suggestions, rules are rules. And also, they didn't exist when the quote-unquote crime was committed. So that is the thing. The NCAA, as a governing body, I think needs to figure out what its priorities are and what they are going to enforce. And doing it 2 years too late, that's not the way to do it. But I do want to continue this conversation coming up next and get into really what does this mean for all of college football as a whole? Because obviously this is a big mess for Tennessee. This is, you know, we're doing this yet again for the second time in what, the last 6 months to a year. So of course this pertains to Tennessee, but I don't think Tennessee's alone in this. And there's a lot of other schools that are going to get involved into this. And we'll continue this conversation coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Thanks for the time. So many things to talk to you about, but let us begin with your story on the University of Tennessee. Good afternoon, and tell us what you know.
Yes, as a source put it to me who has some familiarity with this case, prepare for a firefight of epic proportion between the NCAA and the university and the Spire Group, which is the collective, runs the collective, the Vol Club, volunteer club that has run the NIL efforts for Tennessee. So this has been described to me as quote unquote major, quote unquote big. So the scope of the violations could be considerable. The level of violations that could be alleged is expected to be level one, level two, which is the most significant kind and yield the biggest penalties. And in response, Tennessee is ready to fight fire with fire. The big problem for Tennessee here is this is, as you noted, the second case back to back. They just settled the previous case in the summer with 18 level one violations related to Jeremy Pruitt's time. This is a different case altogether. And Tennessee is fighting this vigorously with good reason, because the penalties up to a potential lack of institutional control charge could be significant.
That was Pat Forty on with Paul Feinbaum yesterday. I love that. It's about to go down. And honestly, that's really how it felt yesterday, as we saw the news from Pat Forty that there was going to be an NCAA investigation. And then, boom, Tennessee responds with an incredibly strongly worded email. And it has just snowballed from there. So that is the big question, is what does the NCAA know? What have they found in the investigation behind Tennessee that we don't know yet? And how is Tennessee going to be able to defend this? What does the NCAA want to use against all of these institutions? Because it is Florida State. It's Florida. It's Tennessee. And I have a feeling it's going to be a whole lot more schools coming down the pipe as well.
And we should mention our app is back on now.
Thank you.
So if you have put that on, or you listen on the radio now, if you'd like to listen to the app, depending on where you are, that's back up and rolling. I'd love to hear from Tennessee fans and all college sports fans of where you think this is going. It is complicated because they are already on probation, or as we like to say, if you
double secret probation.
Yeah, double secret probation for sure. And so that makes maybe the stakes a little bit higher if you do get hit for something, quote, major. But again, we've got a lot of questions, more questions than answers right now, and it's going to be complicated. I think this is a new era. But I want to hear how people think that this era is going so far. I mean, if you've got a team that's winning and you got a team with deep pockets, you probably are like, okay, whatever. Like, I'll never forget when Ryan Day came out and said, it's going to take about $13 million per year, in my estimation, to keep our roster. That's what he said, to keep the players that they have. And Ohio State, just like every school, is getting players from other places and losing players to other places. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback just left. Their starting quarterback just left. But they just got some guys from Alabama, right? It's become normal now.
Yeah. That's the world that we're living
that's
in.
That's with huge money budgeted to keep your roster. Mm-hmm. So we're talking big money here at the very, very top. So you're probably okay with this to some degree. Are you okay with it at Alabama right now? Your coach retires. You lose a bunch of players. Do you like that system? I'm just curious how people feel about this new world we're going into. Lane Kiffin used the term salary cap, free agency. Like a pro coach, the very first summer. I'll always remember that. And that's what we're seeing.
We are in
and
it's free
going,
agency.
It's going further that direction. It's not like, hey, I don't know about this, guys. Let's rein it in. It's going, hey, let's test the waters even more. Let's push the envelope.
It's the NFL without the guidelines, because there is free agency, but there is no salary cap.
There's not a structure. There's not a structure. Who can become a free agent? How long years of service do you have before you become a free agent? That's in the professional level. Those things have worked. Right, it's collectively bargained, and there are reasons why you do that, so you don't have chaos. Right now, the NCAA is chaos.
It is absolute chaos. And when I look at the two parties involved, I always have to ask myself, what do you want? What is your end goal?
Yes.
What I am getting from the statements from individual schools and their representatives is, look, if you're going to have rules, clearly communicate them. Because that was the vibe that I got from Donnie Plowman's email was, okay, you have these rules. That was never communicated to us. Nothing was communicated as to what when is this going to be applied? When does this come into effect? Is this a rule? Is this a guideline? Is this a suggestion? It's just all kind of been very gray. No, what are the guidelines? What are the rules? What can we do? What can't we do? What does the NCAA want? That's what I don't know. And that's what I want to get your thoughts in on right now. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Che is on the line with a thought on NIL. What's up, Che?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. Hey, so I'm approaching this with a background in law. I teach sports law at an SEC school in Nashville. I'll let you guess which one.
SEC school is Nashville? Okay.
So you know, there's a lot of talk about sort of feeling sorry for the NCAA or perhaps framework of, look, the NCAA is here to enforce rules and provisions, right? The NCAA had a huge opportunity for a number of years to fix this problem, right? It wasn't like this was just a tidal wave that was all of a sudden. The waters were brewing, and the NCAA could have acknowledged the fact that they had a billion-dollar product where the actual inputs to the product weren't provided any value from a monetary standpoint, from a pecuniary standpoint. Yes, they got educational benefits, but, you know, it was becoming more glaringly obvious as coaches are able to depart and getting advanced salaries, as universities are growing in their athletic facilities, and the players are still sitting there with objective values being put at a ceiling, right, based on NCAA rules. And so when the Austin case came out and said, hey, you can't do this anymore, you got to at a minimum give the kids the ability to have their name, image, and likeness used, and it was a 9-0 Supreme Court ruling, basically the court was saying, look, if I go into a restaurant, just because the chefs are unpaid doesn't mean that the quality of the food isn't just as good, right? We're in a society where we value capitalism. And so what the NCAA has done by not acknowledging the fact that, okay, you know, we got to put some rules in place that make this seem more fair, they created what Tennessee is now doing, right? They created what all the universities are doing. It's, hey, let's be a capitalist society. Let's go pay the best for the best talent. And the NCAA couldn't really put a true objective restriction on it because of the fact that if they did, it was going to be challenged in court.
Right.
And now they put themselves in a position where, okay, well, we're going to say, hey, Tennessee, you were out of bounds on this, we think, so we're gonna try to restrict you. And Tennessee's saying, no, not so fast. You guys have not, you've been arbitrary in this, you've been arbitrary in your enforcement. This is clearly, in our opinion, a violation of antitrust, and so we're gonna come after you. And I mean, I think, honestly, this is gonna be the framework that ends the NCAA. I think the NCAA is subsequently gonna become like AAU basketball, where it's just a governing body that helps put together tournaments. And I don't know if there's anything so wrong with that. So I know I've taken a lot of time. I'm happy to talk more on it and give a little more detail. But I think that, you know, I think that NCAA may have overstepped its foot a little bit here. And I think that, you know, Tennessee was ready for this. They don't come out with a statement from the chancellor, the AD, from Spire Sports, and have everybody ready immediately to respond. And then the AG filing a case along with the Commonwealth of Virginia the next day. I mean, this is not easy stuff to do. So, right. So they were ready. They knew what they were doing. And I think this is apropos.
One thing that you said at the beginning there that I want to touch on, you said there's a whole lot of feeling bad for the NCAA. Who feels bad for the NCAA?
Well, I thought I heard Willie say earlier, you know, well it's been in place. Like, what are they supposed to do? I thought I heard someone say,
here's where I'm coming from with that. And that's with Charlie Baker, right? Mm-hmm. He took the job, right? So part of it's on him. But his job, jumping into this firestorm, he had nothing to do with all the screw-ups. And you say, I completely agree with you, that they held out. If he's still there, I'd love to hear his retort to this. But he inherited this, right? He's not responsible for how they acted, but he's the head of the NCAA now, and he's trying to do the best he can to stop the avalanche, right? Or rein it in, come up with a system. There is no system right now. So as long as there is an NCAA, the head of the NCAA has got to try to put some order back in place, right? He's got to put in a system that doesn't exist right now. He's not responsible. Well, then, like he said, the caller, Jay, what's going to happen is there will be no NCAA. And if that's what you want, okay. He said, Jay thinks that's not a bad thing. I think I would really worry about what happens there.
What? Like,
well, it's really becoming more of a professional sport. College football, college basketball.
Yeah.
And there's just not that many teams that can do that financially. A few can. So what happens as a result? What happens to Middle Tennessee? What happens to Austin Peay? What happens to UAB? Like, there are hundreds and hundreds of schools that have been trying to make it work, that have alumni bases, that like following their teams. What happens? Like, it's going to be...
We're asking ourselves in July of 2021.
I'm just saying, is that what Whenever you want? You want the unknown? You want, or do you want to try to make something of a broken system put together? Which it's almost like when you have an old stadium that has a lot of tradition, like Fenway Park and Tiger Stadium.
Uh-huh.
Detroit decided we don't want Tiger Stadium anymore. Let's build a brand new park. And you have a lot of people saying, man, I really miss Tiger Stadium. Tiger Stadium was run down. It was not well kept, mm-hmm. and it had a ton of character, but they decided it was better to build a new stadium. Fenway Park, they got to that point. There was a time in the 90s where they were like, we're going to build a new park for the Red Sox. And people were like, whoa, you can't get rid of Fenway Park. So they have refurbished it. They put all the money into it, and we still have Fenway Park. So mm-hmm. those are your two choices, right?
There's give Fenway and take park with both. Unconstitutional.
But it was run down. Like it was crowded. There was a lot of flaws. It was small. They were not able to get 50,000 a game where maybe you could in a new park, right? So it's a trade off either way. I guess I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer.
Right.
One is unknown. If there is no NCAA, it's like if the TSSAA had gone away, and there was no governing body for high school sports, would that have been good? What would have come out of the rubble? Right, something would have, but what? I don't know. So I'm just saying it's not easy when you have.
No, of course not.
You have. We're just talking about Division One. Forget about Division Two and Division Three and all the other hundreds, like Trevecca down the road. Division Two, completely mm-hmm. different model, still under the same umbrella. So you have hundreds and hundreds of schools in all across the country, different places that are trying to have a system here. For college athletics. And at the very, very top, what this is doing now is changing everything.
I don't know what the NCAA legally can do to try and, whatever verbiage you want to use, tame the Wild West, put the toothpaste back into the tube. Because what now that Tennessee is filing a complaint for is a violation of antitrust laws.
Right. So we want to make it about lawyers. We want to make it about Congress getting involved. I don't know if that's a good thing, is it?
The Supreme Court has already been involved. The Supreme Court said,
do we want to go back there again? I mean, don't we want to try to make something of it? Like, we've got the decision. We know that it's going to be different than it's ever been before. So let's try to come up with a system here, like, instead of tearing it down more.
What is that? What is that?
I think there's a lot of things you can do if people actually tried to work together and then keep suing each other.
I don't think that these member schools, like Tennessee or Florida or Florida State, are going to willingly give back what the Supreme Court granted was your constitutional right.
Right. But I go back to when the courts ruled in the mid-70s that baseball players, and this was before basketball and football and hockey eventually followed suit, mm-hmm. right? Free agency. There was no free agency in major sports until the antitrust law, they went to an arbitrator. And in the mid-70s, the players were granted the right to free agency. So, in theory, everybody could have been a free agent that summer. Every single player.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been chaos. So they came up with a system. Both sides, even though they hated each other, mm-hmm. worked together. And they said, okay, you got to have 5 or 6 years of major league service before you can become a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just started with that, and then they had all kinds of other things. There were more strikes and stuff like that as a result. But they ended up having to work through it. And you came up with a system.
And what's the
difference? That's
there?
Much more of a level playing field than what you had that you would have had otherwise.
The difference there, you have a players' union,
right,
and a collective bargaining agreement that you don't have in college football.
Correct.
That you cannot go on strike. that you cannot say, okay, we are willing to work with the NCAA or to work with all of the member schools under whatever governing body is going to exist in the next 5 to 10 years. You don't have that college football. And that is going to be, I think, the big difference of, look, we want to get into that? Well, then that's fine. Well, then you're probably looking at student athletes being employees of the universities. I know Nick Saban has talked about that before.
Right. And a lot of people don't want that.
A lot of people don't want that. We might be going in that direction. If that is what is going to get us from where we are now with gray area and all laws are different and schools all kind of operate on independent wavelengths and independent playing fields, well, then scrap it all. Get a union. Collectively bargain an agreement between all of the players, make them employees, and essentially you have the NFL.
And is it a group of schools that want to be in that realm that break away and do that? And then we keep the other hundreds and hundreds of schools in something similar to what we have been doing for the last 50, 75 years.
Once USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon joined the Big Ten, and Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC, I think we all kind of saw
that that's where it's going.
A pseudo AFC and NFC being built.
Yeah.
With all of conference
and what they've
realignment,
done is they've ruined all of the other dozens of sports.
Yeah.
Except for football. Football is the only thing that's not ruined. Everything else is ruined. It will be ruined. When Washington goes and plays Maryland or whatever in baseball and basketball and stuff. It's ridiculous travel. Completely nonsensical.
I don't disagree with you.
Absolutely brutal.
It is ridiculous.
It's ruining all of the other sports just so football is good. So, the Chip Kelly thing makes a lot of sense to me. I football only for these conferences.
Well, yeah, I don't
that
think the
makes
NCAA
more sense.
Is going to willingly let go of the $1 billion that they make every single year off the NCAA tournament. So I think it would be a football-only move. And if that's what you have to do to fix whatever you think is broken, then that's what you do. But clearly something in the system isn't working. And we're seeing that come to fruition with Tennessee and the NCAA today. Want to get right into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays for broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow as Vanderbilt women's basketball takes on Mississippi at home. Pregame at 6:15, tip-off at 6:30, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app. Breaking down Tennessee's now legal battle with the NCAA as the news came out today that Tennessee and the state of Virginia, their attorney generals, are filing a complaint to the U.S. District Court against the NCAA for violating antitrust laws. So this came out yesterday that Tennessee could potentially be under NCAA violation for or under NCAA investigation, rather, for potentially violating NIL laws. And now here we are in the span of 24 hours. It has just been a bleep storm. But I want to get your thoughts in it. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Che is on the line.
Okay, I challenged Che to come back because I really wanted to hear his from his background with the legal point of this. He was asking why I felt like, okay, you're Charlie Baker. You come into this firestorm by choice, right? But he's trying to make something of this. He's trying to save the NCAA and create and restore some order. So what do you do if you're him?
Well, let's be honest, right? Charlie Baker was put in almost an impossible position. So I can't really completely disagree with you, Willie, that it's a quagmire, if you will, right? So one of the things you have to do is acknowledge the reality of where college sports is going. And either you sit down with the universities, with the college football playoff, with March Madness committee, et cetera, and you say, all right, how do we lend ourselves to some sort of fairness and equity that at least give us time to figure this out, rather than continuing down the stream that they were on, which is, we're just going to leave this open to interpretation and we're going to adjust on the fly. Because that puts you in a position to where you're going to inevitably be challenged when you try to enforce the rules that you didn't really even apply, right? Or that you didn't really even legislate in your own personal bylaws. And so it's not a good position for him to be in. I thought Caroline brought up good points of, look, you know, are we going to go down the road of making the athletes employees? I think that would fix a lot of the problem. But with that comes a whole bundle of rights that you have to give employees. You have to give them the ability to unionize. You have to give them the ability to bargain. You have to give them the ability to, you know, set standard. Yeah, right? So, like, fundamentally, it's like, all right, what if, like, how do you address it? I don't necessarily say I know the answer. I think, Willie, your reference to Chip Kelly's model of saying, all right, let's separate football and or basketball, and then let's do everything else. You know, you're right. Like, the Oregon's don't need to be playing Oregon doesn't need to be playing Carolina, or, you know, whatever example, Washington, right, Carolina, whatever the case may be. That doesn't make any sense, right? That they don't need to be playing each other in water polo or volleyball. The system has existed already in front of our eyes. It just didn't exist in D1. I mean, D2 and D3 have done a good job. The NCAA has done a good job in managing it, right? It's not about the money. It's just that the drive of the money has been behind Division I basketball and football. And so for years, they've always separated those two. They've always kept the ability to keep the revenue from those to spread it about amongst the many. Right or wrong, that's how they did it, and Congress was allowed to support it until the Austin case. Mm-hmm. Right? The Austin case changed the parameters of how we're going to look at this system. And so just because the system has existed doesn't mean that it's been right. And so I don't disagree with you. The worst position you could possibly be in is becoming the new president of the NCAA. Yeah. You're in a position where it's like, I got to throw my hands up and say, why did you throw me in this dumpster fire? You know, if you give me enough millions, maybe I'll take it on and try to be your face. But you got to fundamentally start from the bottom. And it's really workable, guys. Like, this is not something that's so hard that well-rounded, intelligent people can't sit around and figure out, because it does already exist. You got look at the minor league baseball system.
Yeah, yeah, right? Jay, all great points, and really appreciate your insight on this.
Good stuff. League baseball, there's a whole other universe that has had to be reshaped because players stood up for themselves.
Yeah, and that's, you know, to his point, is
and there's good and bad. There's good and bad that's come out of it. But
a whole lot of people, intelligent people, can work this out.
You have to start somewhere,
but
right?
We haven't.
But the answer can't be, well, I don't know what you do. Like, that can't be Charlie Baker's approach, right?
If hey, that is I just his inherited approach, this. Hey, I don't think he should have gotten
this is
job.
This is a new boy. This is tough. I guess we can't do anything.
What the,
like,
approach?
You can't do that.
What the approach is not retroactively punishing your member schools for doing something that you didn't get ahead of, that you didn't take advantage of, saying, okay, look, we're going to get ahead of this, and we are going to make sure that we have rules in place for this. The NCAA sat on their hands and didn't do anything about it. And while that wasn't Charlie Baker, while he was not in place while all of that was going on, he is responsible for this. He is responsible for bringing things up that happened 2 years ago. This has been a problem with the NCAA. They're always a day late and a dollar short and punishing innocent kids that maybe weren't even alive when things happened, when they're now playing for a certain member school. And it's, I don't know what you do, truly, but I don't think that the NCAA is the institution to do it, that it needs to be bigger than that. We'll chat with Jonathan Hutton about this. We'll get his thoughts on the the NCAA investigation against the University of Tennessee and the Tennessee Titans are in a coaching search, both OCs and DCs. We'll get Hutton's thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast!
Stop the podcast!
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.